Welcome back. This is Sarah Hale and Tegan McIntyre, and we're here with Dr. Eric McIntyre this time on our Wanderment podcast. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about joy, and we're going to start in the river because clearly, if you're going to have a joyful experience, you probably should have some water involved.
Definitely. So, should we start with the story or what should we do?
Yeah, we should probably talk about the Salt River, which is glorious.
So, we find pure joy in the Salt River.
Yes,
at least
we
I
do.
I mean, I was introduced to it by Sarah. She taught me the joys of the Salt River. And we found that after a very long hike in the mountains that...
When you're hot and sweaty and just nasty.
That it's best to just go in the river.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we've shared this experience with my parents and with Eric and the girl. Like, even my girls go. They love it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, in Star Valley, if you live here, you float the river. That's what you do. You take your family, you get your tubes, and you float the river. Everyone has their different section that they like to float best. But, you know, that's what you do. Summer day, you just go.
Yeah, but there's certain times that you do it, though.
In December.
No,
you can't be floating that.
You'd be floating with ice too.
But. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, but in the summertime, you know, there's always groups of people that go, and it's a lot of fun. So, but there's sort of an art to floating the Salt River. There's an art and a method, and I like to think that I perfected it. And really, until I met the McIntyres, and the Barkers, I would have said I was very proficient at floating the river. But I have since revised that. Little assessment of myself. I am now just a river survivor. That's my goal. Just get in and get out with most of the things you got in with. So,
well, I mean, the hardest part is getting in and getting out.
That's
true.
The middle part can be a little tricky, but yeah, getting in and getting out, that is the tricky part.
Yeah. But I mean, there was this one time though, we went,
we did go
and we had the whole clan. We had, you know, my parents and we had Eric and my two girls and you.
Yeah.
And we had all of our tubes.
Lots of tubes.
Yeah.
But, you know, third or fourth time down the river, you kind of get a little lackadaisical maybe. The first time you go, you make sure all the tubes are good and everything's, you know. But then by third or fourth time down the river, you know, you've done this thing and you just grab the tube that's closest and you go. And this was kind of what we did this time. So.
Yeah, for sure. So we, you know, loaded our tubes up. We were excited to go down the river. And
we got to the river and we had one less tube. Than we started out with, right? Didn't we lose one before we got to the river?
Yeah, I think
we lost one.
So now we have X amount of tubes and X amount plus one of tube riders.
Yes. Okay.
So you already had to improvise.
Yeah, we already had to improvise.
So then we looked things over and we decided Steve and Mary Jo could have different tubes. I had the huge tractor tube. You had a tube with one of your daughters. Eric had a tube. With the other daughter, and we were fine. We were just going to go down the river.
We're good.
So that's how we start.
Yeah. And we were enjoying ourselves.
Yeah. We got in good. We made the first couple of bends. It was all good.
And then all of a sudden, the willows came.
The willows.
And they were everywhere. And they were everywhere. And the water was running a little faster than normal.
Yeah. It was early in the year, so there's high water volume.
And we all of a sudden were floating along, just enjoying ourselves.
Having a good time, splashing, whatever.
Yeah. And we hear,
We hear this big, was there a boom first or was it the
yeah,
gel?
It was a boom and then a,
and then a whoosh. Anyway, so we're trying to figure out what's going on. Cause you know, as you're going down the river, you're in three or four different bends, you know, you're not all together in a big old group. Anyway, so we stop and we're waiting. We're kind of seeing what's happening. Well, here, then it was your mom, right?
Yeah.
And what did she yell?
I lost my shorts.
So we hear a boom, then we hear a sort of squeal, then we hear whoosh. And then we hear, I lost my shorts. And by now we're laughing because we just, you know, anyway.
And I just asked, do you have anything underneath? Like, are we okay? Like, I had to think we had to streak
down the river.
Yeah. But she was okay.
So yeah. So her tube had popped and as it popped, it like shrunk in on her and sucked her underwater. So then when she had to get out of the water, she left her shorts behind.
Yep.
Because so, the tube stole her shorts.
Yeah. So the tube or the river.
The river stole the shorts.
River stole shorts and the tube.
Didn't we get the tube back though?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we couldn't find it. I think we went back for it. We couldn't find it.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So now we're two tubes short.
Yep.
Because we lost one on the way to the river. We lost one in the river and we've lost one pair of shorts.
So we pull over to the side and we decide, you know.
And meanwhile, there's other people in the river. Yeah. You know, there's kayakers and fishermen and other families going down. So it's not like. It was just our little show.
And there's people along the bank watching
We were kind of the center stage there.
So we pull over And we decide to shuffle tubes.
Yeah, so we have to figure out which bodies match which tubes best and how to get down the river.
So my mom had a paddle. For some reason, she decided to bring a paddle when she was...
Yeah, so then they got the biggest tube. Steve and Mary Jo
got the tractor.
The huge tractor tube that I'd been riding, which was perfect for me because I couldn't touch the water before because the tube was too big that I was on. Anyway.
Yep, for
so,
sure.
So they got the tractor tube, and then Eric had a tube with one child. Tegan and I had a tube with one child.
No, I had a tube too.
We both had a tube, anyway.
And then you got another smaller one.
Yeah, there you go. So I was in a smaller tube and we're good to go. We're going down the river again. Yeah. Well, as I'm going down the river, I realize that my tube is sinking and the water level is rising. So I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden I'm realizing that I'm lower in the water than I used to be. So of course my tube has a hole in it. I'm not sure if it was the willows or the rocks or what, but I'm losing air. Anyway, so we now have a flat tube, a lost tube, one pair of lost shorts, and we're now three tubes down from what we should have been when we got in the river. And we haven't even made it to the halfway point.
Yeah. So then we decide Sarah, it would be best if Sarah come ride with me and one of the girls.
Yeah. So we have three girls on one tube.
And my mom and dad were on theirs with their paddle.
With their paddle.
And Eric was on with...
with our other daughter.
With Goalie. I think you're on with Goalie.
Yeah. So there we go. And then we have the rest of the river with three tubes down. One pair of shorts down.
And with three tubes. Total.
Anyways. But finally, we make it to the end of the river, which is good. And we get out with our tubes. We never did find the shorts. But I think
my parents at the end of it, they almost got... Remember, they got like stuck inside their
they
tube?
They got stuck inside the tube and couldn't get out. Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we made it. And yeah, it was so fun.
It was fun. Now we can look back at it and think it was funny. But there were times in the middle of all this, I'm thinking to myself, seriously, self... how did you end up with this pack of crazies in the river without some shorts? I had my shorts, just to be clear. But seriously. Yeah. Anyway.
But we made it. We did. We found joy. And it was awesome.
It was super funny.
Yeah.
A lot of laughter on that river.
It was fabulous. So Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, what do you do?
I'm an upper cervical chiropractor, so I help people get well.
And Eric actually is working on a project where he's talking about the power of positive thinking, like how your thoughts can affect your day. And it's something that people have thought about and researched about and all that sort of stuff. But Eric has this idea of actually attaching a monetary value to your thoughts. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that came from a concept of I wanted people to take accountability for what they were thinking. And we have 80,000 thoughts on a daily basis.
Every person.
So what would you do, Sarah, if I gave you a check for $80,000? And I said, you can spend it on anything that you want, but it has to be spent today. What would you do with it?
Plane tickets.
Plane tickets.
Lots of plane tickets.
Someplace warm, someplace cold, just depending on when it is. What would you spend it on, Tegan?
$80,000. $80,000, and in one day to spend it, I probably would buy a trip around the world or
vacation,
something like that.
Definitely.
Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Or I would probably, lately I've been wanting to like a fun little like side-by-side or something.
Maybe Tegan and I would combine our two thoughts, our value of our thoughts, and buy a ranch.
I would love a ranch.
Buy some property.
You can't. Yeah.
Or a camper. Right now I'm
buying
a camper.
Let's go with the camper. Buying a camper.
Yeah. Here's the fun thing. You get another $80,000 check tomorrow and the day after that. What would you do with that money?
So first I would get the truck and then I would get the camper and then I would get all the equipment to put in the camper and then I would buy a plane ticket where the camper couldn't go.
Oh, I buy a cabin too. Mm-hmm. Down payment on a cabin.
For sure.
Up here. Yeah. In the mountains. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. We're vacation minded. That's what we would do.
Well, see, you two got so excited when you thought about that. When we wake up in the morning, we typically don't get excited because we're too busy. According to research, 64,000 thoughts are spent on doubt, fear, worry, anger, something, feelings of lack, not enoughness, and only 16,000 are spent on joy or love or kindness or gratitude. But imagine if people woke up and they had your same mindset right when you woke up and you said, what am I going to do? Where am I going to focus these thought dollars?
Camper.
and a camper. And doesn't that sound great?
Focusing on the camper.
I heard blah, 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 camper.
You hear very well. There you go. Anyway, but no, you can actually see, you know, people say, oh, all I really want is world peace. And they sort of laugh it off, thinking that it's an impossibility. Well, the reason why it's impossible is because the vast majority of the thinking that people are doing on this planet is negative. It's negative. It's anger based. It's fear based. And a very tiny percent is not that, even not necessarily joyful. It's just not as negative. I mean, because, yeah, you have blows your mind. You just think, holy cow, it should be easier to think a positive thought.
Yeah. And the whole concept of hard or easy, I want you to change the word hard to not well practiced. So I could say the piano's hard, but it's just that it's not well practiced.
Yeah, I've been trying to learn for 2 years. Let's just say my daughter Finley plays better than I do.
But like you could say thinking is hard, or you could just say, oh, I guess I just got in a rut of thinking the way that I was. So anyway, you want to be able to get out of the ruts by just saying that I'm not a part of this circumstance. So the circumstance with the tubes, that was all circumstance. Wouldn't you agree?
But it did cause a lot of joy. Those were joyful circumstances.
And you decided to have fun and joy despite what circumstances were going. Because you, I don't know how many of you start out your day thinking it has to go this way. Otherwise, if it doesn't, then today is going to be terrible. So we've maybe been in that space before.
The tube space or the happiness space?
Both. But
we've been in our tube of happiness.
If you're ever too focused on a circumstance, you get to take a step back from that. And instead, you get to, for one, agree that you're not the circumstance, but instead you're something even bigger than that, even more infinitesimal. Infinitely bigger than that.
So talk a little bit about maybe how you change your thought pattern, because people may have a desire to change. They may see, you know what, I am more negative than positive in my thought practice. I want to be more active, take a more active role. What are some strategies people can use day in and day out to maybe shift their thought patterns, to maybe change up that negativity to positivity?
Yeah, great question, Sarah. The first idea is to just focus on your breathing. Because when we go about our day, we don't breathe. When you think about it, we just get excitedly talking about it, or if we're in a stress state, then we forget to breathe. So the first step would be breathing and doing some deeper breathing than you would normally be.
So it's interesting, because when people get angry, the first thing they do is hold their breath.
Yeah.
Every time. You can watch it. Like when you are about to lose your mind and just throttle whatever or whoever's in front of you, you always go and just hold your breath. And so what you're saying is our natural human response maybe isn't what we should be doing, but maybe we should, instead of before we throttle someone holding our breath, we should maybe breathe.
Yes. As a doctor, oxygen to your cells is absolutely vital. And so we didn't realize that what we were thinking about or saying is helping ourselves or not helping ourselves.
Yeah, I used to have a watch that would remind me to take a breath every now and then.
Yeah. It would beep, the alarm would go off. Excuse
it would,
me.
It would like buzz my arm, and I was like, what are you saying? Like, what's going on? And it would just say breathe. And yeah. I was like, oh, I guess I do need to take it. So I just like take a deep breath. And after, I was like, okay, this is really nice, you know? So.
It's interesting because I've been studying box breathing. Mm-hmm. It's a practice that the Navy SEALs use. Like before they go into any kind of a situation, you can think about how stressed out it must be. You know, you're a Navy SEAL doing a Navy SEAL thing. And they actually do box breathing. Like they teach that. And it's just simple of breathe in for 4 seconds, hold your breath for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, and then breathe in. So it's just 4 seconds. Think breathing in a box. And it talks about how that will mentally balance your whole situation. So see, I'm just tying in a little bit of my thought process with what the doc says.
Yeah. So if you're assuming, part of you might say, that's stupid. I don't want to breathe. Or like, what
I'm
this
done breathing.
Silly.
I'm so mad.
This is silly.
I'm done breathing.
Like, I don't want to take that advice, but really just the part of you doesn't want to hear that advice. But if you really were to practice it, then you wouldn't be stuck in the past or worried about the future. But instead, there's nothing quite like getting you present with unless it's breathing. And that will let you get into a more observing state of what's going on in your mind instead of a reactionary state.
Yeah, just like the other day, the girls were eating cereal and Goldie decided, she wants to do everything by herself. She doesn't want my help. And so she decides.
She's grown up, Mom.
Yeah, she's grown up.
She's going to be a big girl.
So, yeah, so she pours her cereal and it's all over the place. So I'm like, okay, I could react to this. But instead I like take a deep breath and I'm like, okay, what should I say? And I just look at her and I say, go grab the dustpan and the broom and then go sweep it up. And then right after that, she starts pouring her own milk because she has to pour her own milk lately too. And of course the milk goes all over and I'm like, okay, another deep breath. And I'm like, okay, now I need you to go grab grab a rag and just go clean that up. And so she goes over there and both the girls though, they looked at me because a lot of times.
You're a mom too.
I'm a mom. My reaction is like angry. Like, what the heck?
You know? Just cleaned that counter. What the heck?
Yeah, I just cleaned that. So just get angry, you know, to get mad at them. But like, I was like, you know what? Like this, like I was just like the whole thought of don't get angry over spilt milk, like kind of came to my mind. And I was like, why? Why would I get angry over, you know, spilt milk? Like, we're not starving, you know, so like take a deep breath and just, okay, just remind them that they, you know, if they make a mess like this,
they can clean it up. Okay.
Clean that.
There you go. Power breathing. So it's good. It's good news that to change a thought pattern is something that you have to do to survive. I mean, you have to breathe to survive. So it's good that the first solution is just do something you naturally need to do. So it's not hard. You can just breathe. Okay, so step two.
Okay, step two would be as you're observing like a movie, if something scary happens on the film, you don't get out of your chair and start running. Or if you do get up, you don't actually walk out because you're interested in like, oh, what happens next? I'm interested in what happens next. But if you did that with your thoughts, then you all of a sudden take a step back. And instead of reacting or yelling at somebody, you just breathe. So if somebody cuts you off in traffic or if somebody honks and you are just not really understanding what's going on, be the one who breathes, be the one who observes instead of reacting. But you'll notice, you'll get to have a celebration when you notice a thought pattern that has no longer served you and you were about to think it and you say, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm glad that I'm noticing. Apparently, I feel like I want to deck that guy right now, or apparently I want to punch somebody. Instead, like, interesting. Just use the word interesting.
So the first step is to breathe. The second step is to observe. Mm-hmm. Observe your behaviors, your actions, your thought process. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now.
And then the third point would be to ask yourself a question, do I want more of this or do I want to change it?
So do you want more spilled milk and more spilled cereal? Or do you not want more spilled milk?
Right. Do I want more anger or do I need to go take some time for myself in the forest? And you two know better than anybody that I know about connecting to the forest or taking some time for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's days where I'm just beat. I mean, especially with what's going on. I mean, I'm homeschooling kids and I'm starting a business.
Managing a house.
Yeah, managing a house. I have articles that are due. You know, like I'm busy.
She got some stuff.
I've got things going on, a lot of things going on. And, you know, there's days that I come home and Eric just looks at me and goes, have you been outside today? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And he's like, go on a walk just around the block. And that's all I do sometimes is just go around the block. I mean, it's not very far. But if anything, it just grounds me and makes me center and just reminds me of, you know, the joy that I feel when I'm outside.
For sure. Mm-hmm. For me, I have to be careful about my people load versus my nature load. If my people load and my nature load is out of balance, there's no one on the planet that is safe anywhere near me. I just need space and time. I need to be outside, letting myself just be outside away from people in order to be okay.
And the fact that you know that about yourself is so helpful. And healing.
It's helpful for me and for everyone else in the world.
Well, you know, you don't approach somebody who's angry or they look like they're going to punch you, but it's, you obviously give them their space.
Yeah, I used to work for a principal, and we'd look at his shades of his face, what color red they were. And if they, the brighter the red, you just didn't go in there and talk to him. So
there
yeah.
you go. Well, it's true, because when people have, like, when they're angry, even if they have no, like, physical change, you know. Like, just think about it. The last time you walked into a room and saw somebody and you're just like, I'm out of here. I mean, we have warning signals that we're just like, nope, 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 nope. So it's interesting because we pick up on that on some level, and yeah.
But, you know, if more people took and observed instead of reacted, we'd have less wars. And the wars that were going on, we'd even have less casualty because people wouldn't react so much. But instead, they'd be trying to understand a little bit about what's going on with the scenario. But everyone would be taking care of, taking charge of their own thoughts and how they're seeing the situation.
So, Eric, you're going to be our next president, right?
I'm not even touching that one. I'm leaving that all alone. Oh, my goodness.
Well, so we can agree. We like the idea of a politician being observant instead of reactive, right? So let's just set it in motion there. Someone, whoever
yeah,
wants to jump
sure
in.
I'm not sure I like the idea of a politician at all, but I like the idea of that politician better.
Yeah. If we're going to have a politician, you like the idea of something like that. So using the phrase, I like the idea of something. Helps you transition from where you are or where you have been to something of where you want to be. So let's say you're naturally pessimistic instead of optimistic, you don't have to say, oh, I'm just a pessimist. Do you want that label or do you want to upgrade it? But you say, I like the idea of things going my way today. I like the idea of today being working out for me instead of to me.
Well, and I think that helps with the actual success rate, because if you wake up and you say, if your thought is, your positive thought is, today I'm going to be perfect and I'm going to have the perfect day. That sounds brilliant, but really you have just set yourself up for repeated failure because, yeah, you're mortal, you're human, you're everything that is, and it's beautiful and wonderful, but it is flawed. And you start, if you set yourself up that way, really, that's kind of a scary thing because you're telling yourself it's positive and really it's self-deception because that's a lie. You're not going to have a perfect day and you're not perfect. So,
yeah. So we see it as if you're on a roller coaster of circumstance of when you're up and when you're down, you're down.
When you're up, you're up.
And when you're down, you're down. And when you're only halfway up, you're neither up nor down.
Sorry, I can't resist myself.
Yeah. I had a helper. There you go.
You notice you could either be on that roller coaster or you could separate yourself from that circumstance. And so who you really are has nothing to do with what that circumstance is going on in your life with. But just the idea of detaching yourself from that circumstance so you be the calm person. So, you know, your mom is a paramedic, right? Mm-hmm. And so imagine if everyone's freaking out on the scene and she arrives on the scene. What happens if she freaks out too? Instead, you have the idea of just being the calm instead of freaking out. But be the calm one in any circumstance, and that way it's the same circumstance, and nobody goes up to the fire person or policeman or paramedic saying, don't you realize what's really going on? Yeah, they realize it, but they're going to be the calm person in that scenario.
And thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, my goodness.
We're thankful for those people that can stay calm and craziness.
Well, and people that run into a crazy circumstance and can keep their cool and actually provide help. Because anyone can freak out. Anyone can freak out in that situation. And it just makes it worse.
So imagine if you could do that with your mind.
I kind of like my mind to freak out sometimes.
Of course. It's totally okay because it lets you know, but imagine, let your mind do what it needs to do, up or down, down.
There you go.
And so, then you just allow yourself to experience the emotion and then you're done with it.
Nice. Experience the emotion. Funny to say that, me right here in a microphone. Anyway, we'll get to that later. This has been another podcast for Wanderment. We're glad you joined us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.